welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. The November internationals are underway. Mills Mulliana and Scotty Stevenson joining you this morning. We're going to talk about the All Blacks against the Barbarians, just review that weekend that was, and also look ahead to the French test this weekend. And to help us do that, Millsy, it's a man who you played a bit of footy with and who's now earning squillions of francs playing in France. It's Colin Slade joining the Rugby Pass podcast. G'day, Sladey.
G'day, mate. How are you? Thanks for the intro.
Yeah, that's all right. You're playing pretty well too, mate, which has come as a surprise to all of us who know you. So that's obviously going great for you.
It's going all right. Got a good crew here, and makes life a bit easier, I suppose, having a couple of English boys around me to speak with, as opposed to just a bunch of Frenchies. So, enjoying my time.
Yeah, Slade, I'll just on that. Have you adapted well to the French lifestyle? You've spoken there just about, it's good to have a couple of sort of English speaking boys, but have you adapted well in terms of the language and I suppose the style of football as well compared to New Zealand?
A little bit. I think it's. I think you're always learning and adapting and all the rest of it. But I can go out there and order a beer or a coffee and that sort of stuff. But if I get into a conversation with the French, a local Frenchie or something like that, I get lost pretty quickly. So language is getting there. But to be honest, the rugby is pretty similar too. You can be quite complicated and things like that. You can try and through the language and stuff, but you just go out there and play footy and. I think everyone gets on the same page pretty quickly. It's certainly challenging playing with different people and different ideas and things like that. But we're making some good strides. The team's getting better. And like I mentioned, we've got a good Kiwi crew here too. So we're always sort of learning and helping those guys as well.
Slady, for those who don't know, just explain to us your club and the setup there and who's pulling the strings and the coaching staff.
I play for Pau. It's a team in southwest of France. It's it's a team that I suppose three years ago now, I think they're in Division Two, and so now we're sort of mixing it with the bigger clubs, and we're getting a few bigger names. We've got obviously Conrad Smith here as well, and Tom Taylor, Jamie McIntosh is another one, Daniel Ramsey. So we've got a good Kiwi crew here.
McIntosh is there, is he?
Wop's here. Yeah, Wop's running the cutter.
How did he get a gig over there? How did he get a gig over there?
He's going good. Like on it and on off the field. he's a single man here at the moment, and he's certainly enjoying his time and experiencing the culture as best as he can. So Wop's been bloody good for us. So
he got a good crew and. He got a joker with the Carl Heyman card, didn't he? He pulled the Carl Heyman card.
I suppose that it's all about who you know, isn't it, in rugby circles. And I suppose it worked out for Wop in that case. Obviously, having Carl here and Simon Mannix is our coach, an Asia Kiwi, obviously. And so he's got, pulled the strings, I suppose, as you said. And between him and Conrad, I suppose, Conrad sort of dipping his toe in the water with the coaching sort of side of things, and he's still playing at the moment, but I think he's over the next couple of months, I suppose, is going to consider whether he transitions into the coaching side of things too. So that'd be interesting, but strong Kiwi influence and makes it better for the wives and things like that off the field.
Slady, so being the November internationals, obviously the All Blacks are playing a French side this weekend. Do you guys get a week, the month off while these internationals are going on? And sort of what can you tell us about, some of the French guys that perhaps a lot of people here in New Zealand don't really know about?
I saw that interview of Luke Romano that he didn't know anyone in the opposition, so I'm assuming the general public won't either. So, the Frenchies, first question, we do get the week off, but we get just the 1 week off. We sort of go back into it the week after, so it can work in our advantage playing a few of the bigger teams without their French players. That's your first question. The second one, I suppose, how the French is going to go and things like that. The French, it's a bit of a lottery, to be honest, but even from playing together, I think think people know that they've got this sort of this style of play that's a little bit unpredictable, and I think even themselves, they sort of buy into it a wee bit, and it's always quite hard to tell. I suppose that this is their first game this weekend, and I think they went into camp last weekend. So, yeah, I mean, it's anyone's guess. I probably feel, like I said, just as unsure as anyone else about how they're going to be. But, you know, I think with French rugby, I think the talent's here. It's just the hardest things, I suppose, pulling a team together and getting a style and a pattern that that suits them. Because, I mean, within France, you've got so many different clubs with different influences. You know, obviously, we've got New Zealand influence. You go to Montpellier, we've got a South African influence. So all the French rugby teams play a slightly different brand. And I think that's probably why they struggle to come together. And yeah, but look, you never know. I could be wrong. You turn out there and they play a blinder and beat the All Blacks. It's a possibility. I think the All Blacks will benefit from having a bit more time together.
Slady, finally from us, mate, if there was a couple of French players that we all had to look out for this weekend, guys that you've gone around with or played against, who would you think would be the two guys in that French selection this weekend? I know the team's not named, but you know the big stars in French rugby. Who are the two guys that the All Blacks would have to be the most wary of and that the public will enjoy watching the most?
It's a good question. I'm a little bit unsure as about their selection as well, I suppose. Whoever they pick in their 9-10 combination, I suppose, will have a pretty big influence over the game. Whether they go, I'm not too sure who they'll go with. Probably Louis Halfback, who played quite well for last year for France, Siren. He goes pretty good. He's a young fella, though, so... the second nine escapes me. Yeah, I mean, I've got some experience with the Trandukes and things like that too, whether they'll go with him. But, you know, who knows? But I think when you look to their forward pack, I suppose they'll be pretty simple, pretty direct, and they'll look for Pickamole, their number eight. He sort of seems to be a bit of a momentum player for them. And, so look for those sort of guys, I suppose. Pretty simple answer, but, they're a big part of this team. And as far as selection, I really couldn't tell you what they're thinking, but I suppose time will tell.
No one knows what Guy Guinovez is thinking, and no one knows whether Bernard Laporte's going to overrule him anyway. Slady, great pleasure to talk to you, mate. Best luck with the rest of the season. Have a great Christmas over there too, buddy, and give our regards to all the Kiwi boys floating around, especially Whopper. Keep him away from the coffee table.
Cheers, mate. Will do, mate. I'll keep him under control.
Good on you, boy. See you, Slady. Colin Slade joining us from Poe. You know, he's right about the selection, I think. In recent seasons, it has always been about 9, 10 and 8 for French rugby. That is the access that they have and they bring to most test matches. So I'm glad he brought up Pickamole. I hope he's playing. He's a great player. He'll be a great challenge too for Kieran Reid. But, you know, reading Liam Napier in the Herald today, I mean, it just sounds like French rugby is in an absolute state at the moment in terms of who they pick, in terms of Guinovez and the pressure he's under after being swept by the Yarpies this year as well. I mean, they need to do something. And again, we have talked about this over and over on the pod. You know, the egos of the French rugby clubs are doing nothing to further the aims of French national rugby.
Well, absolutely. And that's the problem when you have a sort of clubs owned privately. You know, they're always going to have the best interest of their own sort of club. And unfortunately, what that hinders is their national side. Until the French go out and beat the All Blacks this week, and then all of a sudden, oh, it's all fixed. And that's the unpredictability. I can't see it happening, but that's the unpredictability the French have, you know?
Well, that's true. Hey, we're going to get on the line to Wyatt Crockett, who's just sent me an amazing photograph of him and a few of the boys dining out in Paris tonight with the Eiffel Tower in the background. You know, just to really rub it in that we're sitting in our concrete bunker in downtown Auckland putting this podcast together. I'm hoping he's going to answer his phone. I'll be very upset with him if he doesn't, but you can always count on Crocky. There he is, Wyatt Crockett, joining us live from Paris. Good morning, good evening to you, Crocky.
How are you, mate? Just some lift, I'm
crinkle up a bit. So, yeah, from our concrete bunker in Auckland to your elevator in Paris, I think we've really nailed this podcasting thing, Crocky. Hopefully you can still hear us.
I'm still on the line. I'm out of there now.
There you go. That's better. It's like having the whole Wyatt Crockett back together. Good dinner, was it, Crocky? Gee, it looked like a special place you were dining.
Oh, mate, it was awesome, yeah. I was Casey Lalala, who's pretty much the mayor of Paris these days, I think. So he took us to an amazing restaurant right at the sort of on this wee hill overlooking Eiffel Tower was really nice.
Did he shout, mate? Did he shout, or what, did you guys play credit card roulette?
Actually, me and Rito went hard because last year Casey took us out. He took about five or six of us out, and he paid for all of us, so we thought we'd get a bloody bit of pain back.
Gee, that does not surprise me about you, Crocky. That does surprise me that the skip reached into his pocket, though.
Well, I had to sort of bloody say, mate, we're better covered this, and he sort of begrudgingly pulled his wallet out.
Hey, Crocky, it's very much so. Hey, last weekend, interesting game of footy, mate. A few of the young guys getting a run. What was the mood like in the camp after that game against the Barbars, buddy?
Oh, look, I think we're all a little bit, as a team, we're obviously a little bit, I suppose just a little bit frustrated that we didn't probably play as well as we would have liked. But at the same time, awesome for those guys to get a crack. And, mate, it's always a tough thing, that first game on tour, whole bunch of new guys coming together, and I suppose also playing against a team that have got absolutely nothing to lose, just going out there and having a crack. So it was one of those tough games that you kind of get through and hopefully learn a bit from, and those guys have just got a huge amount of confidence from having had a crack now.
Crocky, it's how's the team sort of veering up, mate? You know, there's reports back here that a lot of them got mumps. Have you guys cracked down who the carrier is? And, you know, is that going to affect the way you guys train? I know you guys will be fizzing to get out there, but is it going to affect the way the plan is going towards, you know, training this week?
Oh, it's fair to say there's been a lot of Hundi cream used. boys are pretty much lathering themselves up in the old hand sanitizer, and Doc's been pretty vigilant. There's been a couple of guys isolated. So I think Jack Goodhue started the contamination, and
I suppose he's gotten over it now, and he's ready to start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it sort of just stuck to those outside backs. So him and Rico are sort of, I don't know, they must have been cuddling or something. Yeah, what backs those backs do, but.
Well, I'm sure you're in good hands.
Thankfully, none of the forwards have got it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, most forwards look like they've got mumps anyway, especially when they've packed down a million scrums in their careers. So, Crocky, France is always an interesting scenario for you boys. I mean, there's been some great battles over the years. Do you guys have the faintest idea about what this French team is going to bring to you? I know it's a gross generalisation to saying you never know what French team's going to show up, but it seems more so than ever that a lot of the style of French rugby now is a bit of a mystery, more than it ever has been.
Yeah, I suppose I think we've had quite a few injuries and stuff, so we're not actually too sure who's going to be playing. And a lot of guys that are different to the guys we played against this time last year. I think the French have probably adapted their game a bit, and they're playing more similar sort of style to what we play in the Southern Hemisphere now. That's what we sort of felt like last year when we played against them. Mate, that played really well against us last year, and we were expecting them to really come out and play with a lot of passion. You know, you can always expect the French to come out and play with their heart on their sleeves and throw everything into it. So I think we'll sort of plan for that and expect that, and I guess see what happens. But as you say, you know, it's difficult when there's been quite a few changes in personnel.
Crocky, do you touch on, I know it's a massive stadium and it's an awesome atmosphere, but do you fill, you know, the youngsters in about, you know, how big the occasion is, and when you turn up, and especially late at night, and sort of the band playing in the crowd and things like that, and how great it is? Do you sort of touch on that a little bit with the younger players going into this weekend?
We haven't yet, Millsy, but it's certainly something that I suppose we'll talk on through the week, that, you know, that late kickoff, I think it's about 8:45, I was saying. just the massive stadiums, I suppose you sort of get used to it when you've been around for a while, but you do remember back to when you first sort of played in those sorts of stadiums, it can be pretty intimidating and stuff. So, we'll have a bit of a chat and when we visit the stadium the day before the game, have a bit of a chat about that sort of stuff, I suppose.
Croggy, who are you rooming with this weekend, and have you got that enormous snore of yours under control?
Well, I think the coaches have probably listened to some of the feedback and they've given me my own room.
Oh, yes!
Oh, yes. Which is, you know, it's quite a big deal, so I guess I feel like I've sort of cracked it a wee bit.
For all the wrong reasons, Crocky, but it's your own room nonetheless.
I'll take it, mate.
Gee, that's good. I tell you what, that has done more for All Black team harmony than anything else in the last decade of your career, of you getting your own room. I've had the pleasure of spending a night in a room with you, Crocky. Nothing untoward about that, but boy, oh boy, when you kick off, you really kick off.
Yeah. No, I think you know, when you guys are already fairly jet-lagged and whatnot from the big travel, it's probably a wise thing, so... Yeah, hopefully it pays off.
Are you sure you're not the carrier, mate? They're not oscillating you, are they?
He's
vaccinated. He's vaccinated.
I'm raring to go. I've had a week off. I'm fresh. Shit, I'm bloody good to go.
I bet you are. Looking forward to seeing you in action, mate. And finally, Crocky, I mean, I know it's been a very long season, so, you know, how much of the pressure is on versus how much of the coach is just giving you guys a little bit more of a chance to recover and to freshen up ahead of these matches?
I think having that extra week is massive. I think probably as much from a mental perspective, just to have a bit of a chance to wind down and just relax for a few days has been really good. And then you just notice that when you turn up to training, it's really exciting again. You're catching up with the boys and just got a bit more energy about you. So I suppose our responsibility now is to get out there and to train well all week and really try and lead a bit of the energy and excitement and then come out and play well. There's a bit of pressure on there, but I think the boys will be rearing to go by Saturday.
Good as you, mate. Hey, Crocky, thanks very much for joining us, buddy. Always appreciate your time on the pod, and good luck for the weekend, mate.
Absolute pleasure, lads. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Everyone.
See you, mate. Wyatt Crockett, All Black front rower, veteran, and a man who split the bill with his skip for dinner tonight. I mean, that just shows the quality of the bloke.
Oh, great man. But how good is this?
Great man.
The last 2 weeks, okay, is this saying something? We've just rung three people just out of nowhere, and they're all from the Crusader land.
Yeah, that's part of the contract. Once you're a Crusader, you for life have to answer your phone when we call.
Well, we probably should have asked them.
It's in the fine print.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, okay, because I was going to ask him to apologise to Joe Locke for us because we didn't really go down the right channels.
No, we didn't. No, we back-channeled that in a major way.
But he might get into trouble this week, but...
Look, if
Joe's listening.
Oh, no, sorry, Joe.
We'll do it proper next time, mate. You just weren't answering. You're out for a dinner, mate.
Yeah, the fact is, I mean, Joe never answers my calls, but Crocky does. So
how good is that, though? Good man.
I'll tell you what, the photo of them sitting having dinner that I got sent today. I don't know why they sent it to me. As if, what are they trying to say? They're trying to make me jealous or something? I don't know. Man, look at that. Jeez, what a spot.
Can you
paint a picture for the listeners, Millsy, about what we're looking at there?
They're at a table. There's four of them. There's a glassed window and the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower is literally basically there.
It's right there,
They never had that in my day, mate.
You never went there. You went to Macca's.
No.
You went to Macca's.
No, I didn't. mate.
Hey, we need to talk seriously before we... I know, it's great to hear from Slady, and he is going great for Poe as well, and Crocky, obviously. And but that aside, the Barbarians game last weekend threw up a couple of interesting things for me. I know that team has nothing to lose, but after the game, Steve Hansen said it almost seemed to bemoan the fact that it was a festival game. I mean, I'd put to you that, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
For 125 years, it's been a festival game. I mean, what else would you have expected from that game? And I thought the pot shot at Nigel Owens was totally outrageous. I mean, Nigel understands that you're there to entertain a crowd. The All Blacks were playing a team to get experience, and they all knew the players in that Barbarian side. How much of that was Steve trying to take a little bit of pressure off the result and the fact the All Blacks didn't really click? And they didn't really click.
No.
And how much of that was just Steve being Steve? I couldn't figure it out.
I'm not too sure. I can see where he's coming from, and I think a lot of the younger players did get caught up in that sort of festival type of play. And one thing that does stick out and is when Fifita broke through, you know, he got put into a nice little hole. Yep. All he really needed to do was draw and pass. And yep. I think Lomape would have been in.
Yep.
But because of the whole occasion and because it was a festival game, he chose not to, stopped, came back round. And those little things sort of hinder you. It sort of keeps, it's sort of like the Barbarians in the game. All yep. of a sudden the Barbarians are like, oh, yep, well, let's keep playing to this festival. It's like going down to a park and playing a bit of touch when you know you're the better player, but you almost seem to get into that festival type of thing. I didn't hear what Steve said about Nigel Owens, but you're right. It is...
I'm going to point out, I mean, he was quite right. I mean, Nigel Owens, I think, let a lot of things go, especially on the choke tackle. I mean, he called tackle, not maul, on pretty much every player of the game. I think... with a view to making sure the game flowed. Now, that might not pay into the All Blacks' hands, who are trained, obviously, to make the choke tackle, to turn over ball through the maul. You know, and calls like that that don't go your way as a team who's trying to build into a series of internationals. I know that can be frustrating for a coach. So I have sympathy for Steve Hansen in that respect and for the All Blacks side. But still, I mean, that's what that game is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. But the last, I mean, I think... what he can take away from it is they won, okay? Let's put that aside. They've got some young blood out there. You know, regardless of whether they got caught up in the whole festivities and things like that, they came away with the win. Now they can build on playing some test match football. But it probably showed a little bit of frustration. He probably was a little bit frustrated at some of the players without pointing them out, and particularly in the first half.
Yeah.
Some of the decision-making. And also, there's probably a little bit of, well... you know, the guys on the other side, the coaching staff, and also some of the players, they might be a little bit, you know, happier than, you know, they got that close.
Well, and that's right. But, I mean, how much of that is about Robbie Deans and Scott Robertson being able to unpick a lot of the All Black defensive system, being able to unpick a lot of the All Blacks offensive system, and to put plays together in the space of a week with a pickup team and to do that much damage on an All Black side? One of the things, the All Blacks have leaked a lot of points this year. Let's not forget that. They have. Their points concession this year, I think, has been higher than in any year in the last five seasons.
Yeah, and that's probably a little bit concerning as well. I mean, you know, they've always sort of backed their defence. Now they've lost, they've also lost, you know, Wayne Smith. I think Scott McLeod's defensive coach now. So when you leak points like that, and particularly from, you know, long range, it wasn't sort of constructed stuff, so it was sort of helter skelter, and particularly that's one of our strengths, is being able to defend like that, because they do train like that. They have played a lot of offside touch, play a lot of touch and Fiji touch and things like that, but they also defend so that they can actually, that other teams don't break through. So I guess in some ways it probably showed a little bit of frustration, Steve showed a little bit of frustration without naming guys, that he was disappointed in the way they sort of went about the game, particularly in the first half.
We said last week that this was tantamount to an All Black trial. I mean, there are some guys in that Barbarian side who are knocking on the door who by no means did anything to hinder their chances of future All Black selection. I thought Richie Mwanga was great. I thought Buckman was solid as ever.
Yep.
I thought Luke Whitelock still going in the 80th minute of the game. And we saw that with the offload to George Bridge for that final try, which came from a place kick, a Will Greenwood special.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen Luatu, I know, has left New Zealand rugby, and so has Andy Ellis. He's gone past his international use by. But, you know, their impact on the game was sensational.
Oh.
And I think as an All Black, you know, looking at the wider picture, forget the result of that game, forget the fact you leaked some tries, to get to see those guys in that environment playing that style of footy against the All Blacks, I think that's got to be only positive for New Zealand rugby.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how proud is it as a Kiwi to be able to look and see the All Blacks playing against, well, 13 other Kiwis on the other side, and then sort of the brand of rugby that both teams played. And I suppose you've got to credit, you know, the Barbarians, because they showed a lot of flair and finesse and things like that. And when you talk about guys that are knocking on an All Black door, I mean, look at Richie Mwanga. You said it, I mean, a couple of weeks ago. He got a little bit of a taste. He didn't you know, get in there. He came back, and look what he did in the final. And now, I mean, I think he's in there. He's in the
Dom Bird, I think, Richie Mwanga, a few of them have travelled to France with the squad. So, yeah, I mean, they're his backup. So, I mean, it's worked out well, hasn't it?
I mean, George Bridge, man, he's had a fantastic season. And the way he played in the weekend, and particularly that last try, and actually he had a very good game. And so I think – you know, when you talk about Steve's frustration, he's also got to be in the back of his mind happy that there's a lot of guys that are coming through. Well, and man,
that's what I mean. I mean, how much of that is subterfuge in the post wash up, right? You know, he's probably sitting there quite happy with what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
You would be, right? Asafa Almua got a cap. Matt Duffy got a cap. You know, you've got guys into the game. You've got guys on the other side who could be in the game.
Yep.
Look, I don't think this could have worked out better. Furthermore, that kind of style of game and a few of your senior pros sitting in the stands watching that unfold, that does nothing but add to the adrenaline ahead of this weekend and the fact that they now know when the first string is front up against France that they have something to prove.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, you know, I think when you stand back a little bit from the result from that game that weekend, you think, this is great planning.
Oh, absolutely.
Real good.
Well, you heard Crocky. Man, he's rearing to go. He's had a week off. I think they travelled late. Sam Whitelock was the same. Mm. So they look at that game now. There's a few things there that they might see that in their position could have done better. So they're going to sit there and go, okay, I'm going to show you young bucks how it's done, but I'm going to prove that I'm number one. And so it just creates that awesome, like, competition that you want.
Well, I think Ratella comes back, Whitelock comes back this weekend. We know that's a definite. I think Romano earns his place on the bench.
Yep.
I thought he was the best ball-carrying forward for the All Blacks in that game against the Barbars by a country mile. Well, he was outstanding.
Every time he's played for the All Blacks this year, he just has just carried hard. I mean, you think back at the game in New Plymouth when he started, and also in Argentina.
Oh, he went ballistic in Argentina.
Yeah, and so he has not let himself down in that department. So I tend to agree with you there. I think he gets the nod on the bench. It just depends on sort of what the makeup is, whether they want another Lucy in terms of Whitelock and do they have Fifita there that can play both?
Tuipulotu's on the tour as well. The other thing about it is the midfield. Let's be honest, pretty tough combination. Ngani hadn't played test match footy or the equivalent for a very long time. Anton Leonard Brown's still young in the track. I think they go back to Sonny and Crotty, don't they, for this test match?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they do. I think you know, with a lot of it, well, you put Crotty in there straight away, don't you? And Sonny Bill's been awesome this year, so you would have to go back there. The two youngsters made a few errors on defence that I thought, I think Anton Leonard Brown has had a long season. He's had a little bit of a rest, and then you come back and he's a little bit rusty. Lomape's, you know, that try that he scored when he sort of rampaged over Mwanga, that's probably Mwanga's only sort of, downside
hard
in the game.
To stop him,
but who's going to stop that?
No.
I mean, but isn't that healthy? You know, you got these two guys coming through. There's still other guys that are playing for the Maldives as well that are playing extremely well. So in terms of where New Zealand rugby is at, mate, you could field two or three teams, you know, at the moment, couldn't you?
Careful.
Could you?
Careful. That always comes back to bite you when the French beat us by 2 points.
Yeah, I know. But the other thing I would like to add too to that, Sumo, is that how good is it to have that sort of style of rugby being played, you know, over there in front of a pack Twickenham, for them to see what it actually is like.
Well, I totally agree. I think it's strategically it was a great move. I think the game itself was sensational. Here's a question for you. Finish the pod today. Who are you cheering for? Barbars or the All Blacks?
Oh, man. All Blacks, mate.
Who are you cheering for?
The All Blacks.
Be honest.
I didn't actually watch it, to be totally honest.
Be honest, though. Who would you have liked to have won that game?
I'm being honest, mate.
You were watching the replay. I know you watched the replay. Who are you cheering for? Because I know you turned off your phone so you could watch the replay.
Well, I did.
Who are you cheering for?
I'm going to tell you this right now. I am never going to not back the All Blacks.
Bullshit. All right, that'll do for the Rugby Pass podcast today. Thank you, Melzi. I believe you.
Ever.
I believe you. Don't forget, you can catch all the November internationals on rugbypass.com. Would have been good to see them win, though, wouldn't it? They played well.
Yeah, well, considering there's a lot of Kiwis in there, that'd probably be the only side I'd accept a loss to.
I'd turn you eventually. We'll see you next week on the pod. Thanks for joining us. It's been the Short Ball today.